The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Epiphany is from Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. There was a well-known Christian author who was asked by the local college to come and talk about worship. What did it mean for worship? And he got up there and he started to do his presentation and he looked out at the crowd of these college students and they all had that zombie stare, like they had no idea what he was talking about. So he says, well, those of you who have been at Christian worship, what's the strangest thing you've ever seen during the worship service? One young man raised his hand and said, the parade that takes place at the beginning of church. The speaker said, do you mean the procession? Another one says, well, when they bring the big book in and hand it to the minister and he reads from it. The speaker says, you mean the Bible? Excuse me. This is what he had to say at the end of that. He says, thank you for that a group of late 20th century North American people should gather and just for an hour on Sunday morning say, let's all believe that these ancient Jews knew more than we do. Let's just try that for an hour and see where it'll be. That is really strange, but that's not happening everywhere. that a group of modern people privileged to stand at the summit of human development gather to submit to these ancient writings. What he was saying is to them, all right, you think that you know all of this, that you know more than what happened from the ancient Jews, from the early church up through now, that these college kids could actually know more than all those who had gone before them. There is a trend in churches today to throw out the liturgy, to throw out all the old hymns, because some of them are real clunkers. And some of them, the tune to them, does need a little help. All right? But there's nothing wrong with the words of the hymns. It's just the tunes I think we need to be working on and trying to fix some of those. But to some, church has got to be entertaining. You got to have a PowerPoint presentation. These are available online. You can actually watch these PowerPoint presentations, and they'll go for 45 minutes to an hour, and they'll have sound bits, little video clips, and you watch all of this while the preacher is talking about what's on the screen, but you spend your entire time watching the entertainment. And then they have the band or the orchestra, whatever you want to call the rock band on the side, all right, playing softly in the background to give you mood music. They've lifted that type of worship style to a type of new spirituality that we see. The same speaker, Dr. Williamson, wrote, I was recently at a church of my own denomination, and I came away frightened thinking, have I seen the future of the church? The hymns, which were really more like songs, the anthems, everything had jettisoned the tradition, our language, our metaphors, and our stuff, in something favored called contemporary worship. You know, a person can hear that the cancer treatment isn't working, or they find out their children just cannot be controlled, or their marriage won't survive. But yet in a contemporary worship service, they're meant to bebop along anyway. You know, I'm not usually critical of worship styles of other churches. It's just this Sunday, I decided to go after contemporary worship because I had a young man this past week who challenged me and said that we worship our liturgy, all right, and that God cannot be worshiped in a traditional service. So I kind of got my back up a little bit. All right? Because what he was saying just strictly wasn't true. The saints, those that have gone before us, have something to say to us today. That's our tradition. They've walked the same path that we've walked. They trusted the message that was handed down to them, that they would hand down to the next generation, that we now hand off to the next generation. Jesus promises four blessings for those who came to faith in him. The people had gathered. It said in our gospel text that they gathered to hear what he had to say and to be healed. He says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor, those who are unable to care for themselves. They will inherit the kingdom of God. All right, modern disciples alleviate their situation by emotion. That's how you alleviate your situation, is emotion that's built up in church. That's not the way it is. God calls modern day disciples to take care of the poor, the weak. We're commanded to bring food to the hungry. He says, blessed are those who weep now, for they will ultimately laugh. If they have their hope in God's redeeming grace, they will laugh and enjoy life. And he says, blessed are you when people hate you on account of me. Don't have to give too many examples of that on how the world hates Christians. How are Christians generally portrayed on any sitcom? A stiff, stuffy person who is no fun to be around. That's generally how they're portrayed. You can't be a Christian and have fun. That's the other one. You can't stick a beer in front of a Christian on TV because no Christian enjoys beer. They never met a Lutheran. All right, but the world hates Christians, not just the way they poke fun of us at on TV, but if you listen to the newscasters, the way they talk about, like, the Right to Life march in Washington, D.C., there was a level of contempt in their voices. I got kind of irked with it as I heard one of them on the radio talking about it, and just the contempt he had for the march kind of grated on my nerves just a little bit. But back to contemporary worship. It's a feel-good type of religion. Now, we could add a rock band to this church. We could. We could add a screen. I think that would be an interesting church council meeting. What do you think, Chris? Add that to the agenda? A lot of communication. And then we could do these one-hour PowerPoint presentation entertainments. And would we fill the church? I don't know. But are we making the most use of our time of worship? As I said about our hymns, some of the tunes may be real clunkers and need a lot of help, but our hymns are rich in teaching. They're more than just repeating the same phrase 20 times. There's a lot of rich teaching that goes on. Our liturgy comes directly from Scripture itself. So when people say, get rid of liturgy, wait a minute, that's getting rid of Scripture. Or when this young man said that we have a tendency to worship our liturgy, no, we don't. We worship through our liturgy. I've never met a Lutheran or a Christian that prays to the liturgy. All right? It's just, it doesn't happen. All right? Back to the value of tradition. It ties us back to those who have gone before us. They received the word and they passed it on through the generations to us. As I said, the music may be old, but it's rich in teaching. And it's not, church is not meant to be a feel-good type of situation. Church is where we are equipped to go to service in God's kingdom outside of these four walls. In other words, it's a teaching place. We worship God, and then He instructs us on what He's done for us and what He expects from us. That's what worship is. It's far more than just bebopping along to the music. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.